Rapids, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Michael Toscano. Sources tell CBS News President Trump is considering more direct U.S. military involvement to help Israel destroy Iran's nuclear sites. CBS's James LaPorta has more on that.
There was a meeting at the White House in the Situation Room where President Trump was considering his options over whether or not to join the Israelis in a potential strike on Iran. Amongst those options is whether or not we would potentially send in our B-2 bombers. Israel has long wanted to strike at Iran's nuclear facilities, but they don't necessarily have the logistical means to do so.
Israel and Iran launched new waves of missile attacks at each other overnight. An Afghan national who helped the U.S. during the war in Afghanistan is now in ICE custody. CBS News investigative producer Madeline May says that's despite the fact he has a pending special immigrant visa case because of that work.
Saeed Nasir does not have any criminal history. He doesn't have any criminal history here in the United States, and he doesn't have any criminal history in Afghanistan. Basically, the government is using an administrative loophole to cut short his case and detain him and try to prevent him from having an asylum hearing.
Justice Department correspondent Scott McFarlane reports the scope of downsizing that department is coming into focus.
A CBS News review of budget documents here at the U.S. Department of Justice headquarters shows the agency has been gutted in the opening months of the second Trump administration, losing at least 4,000 employees, 4% of the workforce. Some were fired, some retired. Many took that fork in the road resignation offer from Elon Musk before their programs were cut or their jobs were cut.
Scott tells us another 1,500 jobs are expected to go, including 700 FBI agent positions. There was excitement on ice last night as the Florida Panthers are Stanley Cup champions again.
The Panthers iced the Oilers in Game 6, 5-1 to win the series 4-2.
Last year was greatness. This time it's historic. The Florida Panthers are back-to-back Stanley Cup champions.
The call courtesy of the Panthers radio network. Sam Reinhart scored 4 goals. Sergei Bobrovsky turned aside 28 shots. And Sam Bennett was awarded the Conn Smythe Trophy as the MVP of the postseason after leading all players with 15 goals. Erica Herskowitz for CBS News.
Luka Krasanik was 12 years old when doctors in Switzerland amputated his hands because of a major infection. He recently underwent a double hand transplant at Penn Medicine in Philadelphia.
It is still a miracle today to have two hands, basically, because I did not have that for almost 17 years.
6 months after surgery, he says he's able to use his new hands more and more. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Another win for the Thunder. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports, basketball, NBA Finals. The Oklahoma City Thunder, with a victory at home last night, 120-109 over the Indiana Pacers. OKC's Jalen Williams, with a playoff career-high 40 points, was asked how were the Thunder defensively able to hold off the Pacers this time in the fourth quarter.
Everybody's just really aggressive. Everybody takes pride in it. And when you have five guys on the floor that are taking pride in their matchup, it makes your defense very special. So we're all willing to cover for each other and just make the right read defensively. And when we mess up, we don't stop.
Game 6 is Thursday night. OKC up 3-2. Baseball tonight, the Brewers against the first-place Cubs in Chicago. Milwaukee's been on a roll since they swept the Phillies at Citizens Bank Park. Trevor McGill.
I mean, I feel like the team's been doing it for a couple of weeks now, ever since that Phillies, you know, kind of turnaround series. You know, we're stringing some wins together.
That's Brewers pitcher Trevor McGill with Sports on Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Mostly cloudy skies to stay with us in the overnight with showers. Even a couple of rumbles of thunder can't be ruled out. Light winds, morning lows of the lower 60s. On your Wednesday, showers and storms around, some locally heavy rainfall with highs in the upper 70s. It's 66 at our studios.
Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time. Pat Kreitlow, host of Mornings of Pat Kreitlow, along with Trigby Olson, senior advisor at Lincoln Project, will be here to discuss the state happenings, national happenings, and more. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2-4.
In sitcoms, when someone has a problem, they just blurt it out and move on.
Well, I lost my job and my parakeet is missing. How was your day?
But the real world is different. Managing life's challenges can be overwhelming. So, what do? We get support. The Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council have mental health resources available for you at loveyourmindtoday.org. That's loveyourmindtoday.org. See how much further you can go when you take care of your mental health.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
When Republicans try to be cute, they always end up looking like Wile E. Coyote in the old cartoons. Governor Evers is the Roadrunner, and his veto pen is the Acme anvil that keeps getting dropped on their heads. If what they want to do over the next few weeks is not pass a state budget, it would be best for them to get one of those tiny cartoon umbrellas to guard against another Acme anvil that voters are going to drop on their heads.
Weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
That is what our framers intended, and I don't care if it's your team winning today, it won't always be that way. So what in the heck are they doing?
Now, the Maggie Dawn Show continues.
Are you kidding me?
From Congress and courts to burgers and baseball.
I think that speaks to Wisconsinites in a really special way that I've been to 15 baseball stadiums. It ain't the same in other places.
Once again, here's lawyer and economist Maggie Dawn.
Welcome back, everybody. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We are working to get State Senator Dora Drake to join us for an update on where the state's biennial budget negotiations stand. I wanted to talk as we await her arrival. As we do that, I wanted to address the fact that the Senate markup of the big, brutal bill is moving. It has been released. There has been closed-door negotiations amongst the Senate Finance Committee chair and his GOP colleagues over how far exactly to go in revising the House's version of that big, brutal bill. Again, recall that in the last week and a half, new estimates have been coming out of the Congressional Budget Office, again, a nonpartisan office that is its sole function is to analyze legislation for impacts. New data coming out indicating that these cuts, again, especially to Medicaid, are going to be incredibly severe. Apparently, the Senate markup is looking to expand upon the cuts to Medicaid. It is not known whether or not the Senate Finance Committee chair has the votes to move the markup forward. Again, they're rushing to try to meet a self-imposed deadline of having a bill that has been passed by both the House and the Senate on the president's desk before the July 4th headline. Holiday. There's a deadline. It's not a headline. It's a holiday and the deadline, July 4th. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. I want to talk about a few of the items that have been reported today by Politico that are alterations between the House version and apparently what has been negotiated amongst the Senate Finance Committee chair and his GOP colleagues. First and foremost, the Senate plans, at least the markup as being reported today, plans to dial back the what? Oh, yeah, the tax on tips or the we're not going to tax tips in overtime. Yeah, the Senate wants to scale back that tax break. So a tax break that seems to help working people, but really won't in the end. Yeah, they want less of that tax break. So that is a key piece of that. Again, under the Republican Senate plan, the deduction for taxes on tips would be limited to $25,000 and the overtime cap, again, that tax deduction would be capped at $12,500. Those are lower caps than what the House version of the bill would have permitted. He's also talking about phasing out that phasing out the green energy tax credits more slowly than what the House version proposed. There are rumblings that a few GOP senators are not pleased with that. Again, these are razor-thin margins in both the House and the Senate. Recall as well that some GOP House members said, oh, I didn't get to read the whole bill, and I wouldn't have voted for it had I been able to read the whole thing, because it includes things like Congress saying they won't legislate artificial intelligence for a decade, because I'm sure that'll work out well for all of humanity. Elsewhere in the bill, again, this is the Senate markup version of the House's big, brutal bill. It looks like he is also planning on lowering the tax on university endowments. There was a new tax that was being proposed. Again, all part and parcel of Donald Trump's attacks on higher education writ large, whether that is by cutting grants or attacking the universities directly. The House version had proposed a 21% tax. The Senate version maxes that tax on university endowments out at 8%. It is unclear in the Senate markup to date whether or not the $4 trillion tax cut plan, again, the bulk of that benefit going to the highest earners in the United States, the billionaire class, the top 1%. It is unclear at this time, based on reporting from both Politico and now The Hill, whether or not that Senate markup preserves all of the proposed tax cuts for mega corporations and the ultra, ultra wealthy that the House proposed. So, this is a space to watch. They are on, again, this incredibly tight self-imposed deadline. One Democratic senator, Ron Wyden, said this about the Senate markup. Quote, this is caviar over kids and Mar-a-Lago over the middle class. Senate Democrats are going to fight this with everything we've got. All of this has to be taken in the context of some recent polling. KFF, this is the Kaiser Family Foundation, released polling today that reported that 70, and again, this the first KFF poll on Medicaid was done about a month and a half ago. It reported that 77% of Americans support Medicaid. The KFF poll that was published today, that was out in the field over the last 2 weeks, give or take, that number has gone up to 83%. So what's different between now and, say, 2 months ago? Well, the big brutal bill itself and the fact that Americans are getting wise to the scam. Nobody wants to be the mark in a con. Nobody. Doesn't matter who you voted for. Nobody wants to have their pocket picked so that Elon Musk gets a bigger tax break. All right, I'm going to call that rich people welfare. Why are we giving welfare to rich people who don't need it? I don't understand that. So this change in the KFF polling data, I think, is remarkable. Americans, we're figuring it out. We don't want to be suckerized by the Trump administration. We don't want to be suckerized and made the mark in one of the world's longest cons by the current MAGA regime, whether that is in Washington, D.C. or in our state house. 77% to an 83% approval rating for Medicaid, according to the Kaiser Family Foundation polling. That is remarkable, and I think something that deserves our attention. This, in part, I believe we can show as part of this whole, including the No Kings protests. Now, we were talking a bit about the No Kings protests from this past weekend with Mayor Johnson in the last half hour of this fine program. If you missed any of that, don't worry. You can catch all of our old programs at civicmedia.us or on Apple Pods or Spotify Pods. We were talking about the No Kings protests, and I shared with the mayor this theory amongst political scientists that, again, if you get 3.5% of a population participating in a movement, that movement will then impact the government. That's kind of the litmus test. We have hit that number since Trump 2.0. That is where we are at. And I would respectfully suggest to you tying in yet another element of what has been this last week and a half of news, that not only are Americans getting wise to the fact that this is the reverse Robin Hood bill, it's the murder bill, it is the brutal bill that is going to take from middle class and working people and give to the ultra wealthy, they're getting wise to the fact that nobody actually wants this. People are in the movement now. We are paying attention. And so part of what you will see is when protesters start to hit those key thresholds, it means the movement, the resistance is making a difference. And I think, my opinion, is that one of the reasons you are seeing the deployment of National Guard and active duty Marines is because Donald Trump, either consciously or otherwise, but certainly the people around him, know that the resistance is real. It is happening every day. And when you hit those threshold markers, like that 3.5% rule, the government will respond with force. And that is precisely what you are seeing. Donald Trump is trying to normalize this. He's priming the pump to send troops into blue cities. Why? Because the resistance is real, it is here, and it is happening every day. And I have just the woman to talk more about that with. We've got Senator Dora Drake, the amazing senator for the Senate District 4, covering big chunks of the city of Milwaukee and north and west up of the city. Welcome back to the show, Senator Drake. It's a real pleasure to have you.
Thank you, Mackie. It's always good to be back.
Oh, and it was so lovely to see you last week as well. What a nice surprise.
It was. That was the first time we were able to meet one-on-one, so it was great to meet you in person that way.
I like to say in three dimensions and not on these screens together. Let's just start with the state equivalent of the debate that's raging in D.C. What is your understanding of where we stand on the biennial budget process and what is coming next?
Good question. I think that's a question all of us are asking. So obviously joint finance has already stripped many things, you know, from what the governor proposed. And when I say members of joint finance, I have to say Republican members. I think the second day, like the very first meeting that they had for budget, you know, discussions and removal, they removed things on childcare, they removed things on Medicaid expansion, and even funding for our Black Historical Society Museum. So all these things, if you're talking about just basic needs that people need to safety, and frankly, what it means to celebrate our diverse, you know, culture here in the state of Wisconsin, it's a problem. And I think what's happening nationally should put us in a, we should be placed, be moving in a position where we're trying to provide some of those gaps, you know. And so right now we are still looking to see what members of the Joint Finance Committee will do. But it's unfortunate that they continue to strip out budgetary items that would ensure that every Wisconsinite gets the needs that they deserve.
Folks, that's State Senator Dora Drake from Senate District 4. I want to ask you, there was an incredible hearing yesterday in a federal district court in Massachusetts that's involved the NIH grants. And a Reagan-appointed judge basically said what Donald Trump is doing with all of this anti-woke-ism is itself racism. It is itself discrimination. It is itself suppression of speech rights. It was pretty stunning language. I haven't heard something like that with that level of clarity from a judge yet. What was your immediate reaction? We got about 30 seconds, and then, of course, we'll have you back after we take care of some messages.
My initial thoughts are it's the truth. You know, a lot of these things, it is designed to go after those that have been marginalized, after Black and brown communities, and honestly, those that have just been disadvantaged. So it's not even just based on race. It's also based on class, too.
Yes.
So we're seeing that activate in many ways throughout these budget cuts.
Folks, we're going to work to get the senator clear so you can hear every word she's got to say, as well as mine. I'm Maggie Dawn. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Keep it locked. We're going to discuss a bit more about Donald Trump's discrimination about discrimination when we return here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Keep it locked.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel.
The Trump administration arresting and deporting these supposed gang members without giving them due process is one of the steps to becoming an authoritarian government.
Dale, thank you so much for the call. And again, I second all of that. Bring them all back and afford them the due process that's a part of our nation, a part of this law, and a part of our tradition in administering justice.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11. The Todd Allbaugh Show.
Ken, as I like to call him, my least favorite Martin, chairman of the Democratic National Committee.
The other night I said to myself for the first time, I don't know if I want to do this anymore.
Matt Flynn.
You go into combat and the general goes, I'm afraid. He reminds me of the coach of the Jets back in the 90s. The other team would come on the field and say, boy, they look big. No, I swear to God. And the Jets lost 12 games. I mean, right? You can't have this kind of stuff. Get this guy out of here. Put in Ben Wickler.
The Todd Allbaugh Show. Weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station. And on the app.
Every 15 seconds, someone is diagnosed with cancer. If it's happened to you or someone you love, the American Cancer Society can help at every step of the journey. Visit cancer.org today.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Your local Civic Media radio station is your source for real news and great conversation, plus fun and exciting contests. For a complete list of contest rules, log on wfhr.com/contest-terms. Download the Civic Media app in the Google Play or Apple App Store and take us everywhere. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Welcome back, everybody. My name's Maggie Dawn. You are listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We're going to be going to the phones after the bottom of the hour, so get your questions and comments ready. Is Donald Trump about to strike Iran? Are we getting sucked into another forever war in the Mideast? 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Right now, we are privileged to be joined by State Senator Dora Drake of the 4th Senate District. Again, welcome back to the show, Senator. It's a pleasure to have you. You are chair of the Wisconsin Legislative Black Caucus, and you all just hosted your annual Juneteenth celebration today at the Capitol. My, it was warm. I hope there was plenty of water for everyone. This year's theme is Voices of Freedom, Justice in Motion, Leading with Purpose. Tell us a little bit about what that means for you and the caucus, but for the broader community of Black and Brown folks across the state of Wisconsin.
Absolutely. So one, it was a great event. You know, we always love hosting leaders from across the state to come and not just participate, but we really get to showcase the work that's being done. And we were intentional this year about what our theme would be because, again, there are attacks and diversity, equity, inclusion. There are efforts by, you know, the Trump administration to take us back. But it's important that we acknowledge the efforts of freedom that we have been pushing for and still fighting for because we're here. And we didn't get here alone. we had people that have gone before us that have fought for the issues that we've dealt with. And in celebrating Juneteenth, though we honor and celebrate, you know, the folks that were enslaved that didn't know that they were free until, you know, the last of soldiers came to Texas to share that. But it truly is not only just a celebration, but what it means to move in purpose of fighting for things that we care about and uplifting the voices that push for freedom. And so we were able to have two keynote speakers lead, and we were really excited because they're the first. And we had Racine Judge Jamie McClendon, who was the first Black judge to be elected in Racine County, as well as Shondell Washington Spiffy, who is the first Black mayor of La Crosse. So you would think, even to this day in 2025, that we still have firsts. And it's important that we not only highlight what they're pushing for, that we uplift what it means to push for freedom despite the obstacles, despite the barriers, despite the attacks that are happening today.
So important. And I still struggle when I hear this is the first Black fill-in elected office, or the first Black female fill-in thing, CEO, elected official, whatever it may be. I wanted to ask you just to reflect on that a bit, Senator. I view Black women as basically the center of almost all movement universes. And what I mean by that is Black women have stood and led every single substantial civil rights movement in this country. Whether they enjoyed the right to vote or not, Black women's organizing skills and advocacy skills, none of the civil rights movement would have happened without Black women. And yet we still see Black women frequently not ascending to these highest levels. This state has yet to see a female chief executive officer. The city of Milwaukee has yet to see a female chief executive officer, especially a Black female leading in these ways. Can you speak to what you see from your perch as a state senator and a leader in the legislative Black caucus about whether or not we are really respecting the work and contributions of Black women in political movements and in this political moment?
Ooh, that's a loaded question. And I say it's loaded because it's nuanced. And I'll say that for myself, because as a leader in my own right, you know, we choose to lead because we know it's the right thing to do. We either got involved because we saw, something happen to our parents. For me, it was what I saw happen to folks in the criminal justice system and not being treated fairly or poorly, whether it was based on race, discrimination, outcomes, so many issues, poverty. But to your point, every movement, if you look throughout our history, has always had a Black woman, you know, leading the charge. And some of them didn't get their flowers until years later. And so this larger conversation of if we give our due flowers, we need to do better. You know, I think that's the short answer. But the longer answer is we have an opportunity to do that. So right now, especially among the talks of saying that diversity, equity, and inclusion is reverse racism, I would argue that you have African-Americans or anyone in that capacity that truly has moved forward just based on their own merit and wanted the opportunity to do great things. And these programs were established because so many things were closed off to us over years. So some of the things that are happening nationally and how it impacts here, the TRIO program and Upper Bound programs, those are programs that would be cut under the big, I say ugly bill. And that's something where it provided financial resources and support for first generation low-income students, and I'm a product of that. You also talk about our supplier diversity program, which was to ensure that Black and African Americans had access to procurement opportunities. And that's something that is not being challenged. And so as a Black woman, we don't get our due flowers, but we do it because it's the right thing to do. But it is time that maybe we need to shift around some things.
I think you should get your due and more of our thanks, more of our honoring your work and contributions. That is State Senator Dora Drake of Senate District 4. Happy Juneteenth to you, my friend. And I appreciate all your leadership and work and movement. I'll be back, folks. We're going to talk about what's happening in the Mideast next. I'm Maggie Dawn. This is The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Radio Network. 855-752-4842. That's 855-CIVIC. Join us.
Locally grown radio, WFHR. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
CBS News Brief. President Trump is considering joining Israel's effort to strike Iranian nuclear facilities, according to multiple CBS News sources. Michael Leiter is Israel's U.S. ambassador.
The president and his administration will take a decision, and Israel stands by the best friend that it ever had in the White House and President Trump.
Saeed Nasir, an Afghan who helped the U.S. during the war in Afghanistan, is in ICE custody, even though that work gives him a pending special immigrant visa case.
Shortly after his mandatory hearing, two unidentified ICE agents arrested him, and he's now in detention in San Diego for an indefinite period of time.
CBS's Madeline May. Correspondent Scott McFarlane reports on job cuts at the Justice Department.
At least 4,000 employees have left since the beginning of the second Trump administration, and the FBI is looking to cut positions, including 700 vacant FBI agent positions.
CBS News Brief. I'm Michael Toscano.
Another win for the Thunder. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports, basketball, NBA Finals. The Oklahoma City Thunder, with a victory at home last night, 120-109 over the Indiana Pacers. OKC's Jalen Williams, with a playoff career-high 40 points, was asked how were the Thunder defensively able to hold off the Pacers this time in the fourth quarter.
Everybody's just really aggressive. Everybody takes pride in it. And when you have five guys on the floor that are taking pride in their matchup, it makes your defense very special. So we're all willing to cover for each other and just make the right read defensively. And when we mess up, we don't stop.
Game six is Thursday night. OKC up 3-2. Baseball tonight, the Brewers against the first-place Cubs in Chicago. Milwaukee's been on a roll since they swept the Phillies at Citizens Bank Park. Trevor McGill.
I mean, I feel like the team's been doing it for a couple of weeks now, ever since that Phillies, you know, kind of turnaround series. You know, we're stringing some wins together.
That's Brewers pitcher Trevor McGill with Sports on Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Pop singer Neza might have gone to her last Dodger game. At least that's what she says. If you're wondering why, it's because she was told to sing the Star Spangled Banner in English, but decided to sing it in Spanish anyway. This all happened last Saturday on the day of the No Kings protest taking place all over the country. The singer posted a TikTok video of a Dodgers executive telling her to sing it in English and then part of her performance, which was in Spanish. For what it's worth, it was received with enthusiastic applause. The Pit is a hit for Max, and fans of the intense medical drama will be happy to know that season two production is underway. According to Variety, the show stars Noah Wiley as an ER doctor. Sound familiar? It was renewed in February. The Pit takes place at the fictitious Pittsburgh Trauma Medical Hospital. Wiley also executive produces the show alongside John Wells, who executive produced NBC's ER. Season two of The Pit will premiere in January 2026. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Mostly cloudy skies to stay with us in the overnight with showers. Even a couple of rumbles of thunder can't be ruled out. Light winds, morning lows in the lower 60s. On your Wednesday, showers and storms around, some locally heavy rainfall with highs in the upper 70s. It's 66 at our studios.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Mark Sommerhauser, the communications director for the Wisconsin Policy Forum, analyzing the impacts of the big brutal bill.
That number that you mentioned of nearly $15,000 per person, literally about a quarter of the state's economy.
Basically a quarter of the state's economy coming from the federal government. I'm not hearing from Republicans in the state in their biennial budget planning any sort of contingency plan for major disruption in federal funding coming into the state.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show at its new time, weekdays 4 till 6 p.m. Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Dr. Kristen Lierley joins us now.
3 in 4 people have no idea that the hospital I work at in northern Minnesota will likely close if this big, beautiful bill passes, as will the hospital in Manitowoc, Wisconsin. So it is incumbent upon us to have these conversations with each other, not in a hostile way, but in a genuine way about our values and the things that we deeply care about.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Pat Kreitlow.
Wednesday, our weekly visits with Civic Media friends Earl Ingram in Milwaukee, Todd Alba in Madison, Melissa Kay in Wisconsin Rapids, and James Kelly in Chippewa Falls.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Everybody, welcome if you're just joining us, and happy Tuesday afternoon. Hope you're staying cool out there across the state of Wisconsin. This is the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Join us this afternoon, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Let's talk about the Mideast. So much happening at this hour. Let me just start with the breaking news, and then I'm going to backtrack and give some context so we can understand what is happening. The Wall Street Journal and other outlets are reporting that Donald Trump is considering a potential U.S. strike against Iran. He met with top advisors in the Situation Room at the White House on Tuesday earlier today. He had said also on Truth Social that he knew the leader, the location of the country's leader. Here is the tweet from earlier today. It's not a tweet, actually. It's a Truth Social post, but whatever. You know what I mean. He said this: "We know exactly where the so-called supreme leader is hiding. He is an easy target, but is safe there." I don't know what that sentence means, by the way. "He is an easy target, but safe there. We are not going to take him out. Kill, exclamation point, in parentheses, at least not for now. But we don't want missiles shot at civilians or American soldiers. Our patience is wearing thin. Thank you for your attention to this matter." Who's the you there? I don't know. And then moments later, tweeted or Truth Social posted, "Unconditional surrender," in all caps, exclamation point. Now, if you weren't following this closely, Donald Trump left the G7 summit that was happening in Canada early. At the time, saying he wasn't trying to work on a potential ceasefire, but was working on something, quote, much bigger than that. And when he was asked to clarify, Trump said he wanted an end, a real end, not a ceasefire. This is weird, okay? The White House has said over the past couple of weeks and recently, yesterday, that the U.S. isn't going to join Israel's attacks on Iran. The reason that the White House has had to clarify that is that Mideast watchers have noticed a buildup of U.S. military in the region over the last weeks. This includes a third Navy U.S. destroyer that entered the Eastern Mediterranean Sea, as well as a second U.S. carrier strike group that is headed towards the Arabian Sea. That sure looks like military intervention readiness. And the tell-all of tell-alls, and this is the interesting one, is, of course, I've been on the phone to some of my friends that work in foreign policy, because I had heard rumblings that there had been an administration directive to basically empty out U.S. embassies except for essential personnel across the Mideast. I have had that confirmed by a couple of sources that work in the State Department. So, yeah, when you know that there is about to be an attack or some wider scale military conflict, you will clear out non-essential personnel out of your embassies in the region. That has been going on for the last couple of months. And then yesterday, Donald Trump tweeted out, or again, truthed, a number of things about Iran, stating Iran cannot have a nuclear weapon in all caps. They should have signed the deal I told them to sign. What a shame. I said it over and over again. Everyone should immediately evacuate Tehran. That was yesterday. So again, this is the Wall Street Journal and other outlets reporting that it appears Donald Trump is continuing or is newly considering a potential U.S. strike in league with Israel against Iran. Also breaking news today, the big question always in Iran when it comes to nuclear capabilities is that Iran reportedly has this underground facility. It's basically under a mountain. And, you know, how do you blow that up? If you don't successfully blow that up and basically make it an unusable facility, you will not destroy Iran's nuclear capabilities. And that in it is in and of itself a problem. Well, the UN Atomic Agency is reporting that an Israeli strike may have, in fact, hit the underground, quote, halls of this large enrichment facility. Again, so much to unpack here. 855-752-4842. And remember that Donald Trump, as late as just a few weeks ago, had repeatedly said in public and to Netanyahu, Prime Minister Netanyahu of Israel, directly that the U.S. is, we want to help negotiate the ceasefire. This is what we're doing. Let's put this deal structure together. And had, in fact, warned him not to engage in a military intervention in Iran. Israel took that advice from Donald Trump and flushed it down the toilet and then began a military strike campaign against Iran. We are now at quite a precipice as a world. Remember that Donald Trump, during his first term, pulled the United States out of the 2015 nuclear deal to keep Iran from gaining weapons capacity that President Obama had struck. Are we now going to war, on the precipice of going to war with Iran? And again, keep this in the context of J.D. Vance is a staunch isolationist, and Donald Trump largely ran on an isolationist platform. But we're going to war with Iran? 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Text and phone lines are open. What do you make of this? Good idea? Bad idea? Does Donald Trump even have a grasp of what's happening? Who's in control? 855-752-4842. Annie from Watertown, how you doing and what you got for us this afternoon?
That's very well. This is like, he is treating this all like a big game, like fun. He's just so incompetent and out there. I don't know. Isn't there something you cannot target? Is it just like tradition and respect for the others to not target leaders, heads of states?
Heads of state have generally been considered off limits. That is a long normative tradition in basically rules of engagement, except it's not a rule. It's just what's not done, Annie, to answer your question.
I mean, this guy is, I mean, like I say, he just thinks it's, oh, this is fun. Let's do this. Oh, this will make me look big. Oh, oh, oh. Yeah, well, he's crazy. And
let me ask you this, Annie. Do you remember the movie Wag the Dog?
Pardon?
Do you remember the film Wag the Dog?
Oh, yes.
Right? Oh, when you have a political crisis of epic proportions, quick, start a war and distract everyone over here. I'm not saying that that's what's going on, but if your big, brutal bill might be heading towards either adoption against the great majority of Americans' opinions. Your polling is the worst it has ever been. You're deploying the military against citizenry. There have now been political assassinations. Gee whiz. What I wonder would distract everyone from what's really going on as the reverse Robin Hood murder brutal bill moves through the Senate. I don't know, a war in the Mideast? Richard from Waukesha, your thoughts this afternoon, sir.
I got three things you need to think about. The power in the gas industry in America is kind of Bushized on the bench, and politically, and if you make them weak on nuclear, they lose stature in the world, in the economy, with energy.
Here's the thing, Richard. In the last, basically since I've been on the air, since 4 o'clock, gas and oil prices are spiking worldwide because of the prospect of an expanded war in the Mideast, in Iran, involving Israel, potentially the U.S. involvement. So the oil companies, they're going to do just fine. You know, like in war, there's a few group of winners that do really well, and the gas industry is usually one of them.
Except that the profits for the American companies, the political welfare for them is in the cheap processing of it to transport it to the West.
Yes.
There's where their profits are.
Yes. The cheaper the processing, the higher the price, the greater the margin, the bigger the profits, and so on and so forth. I hear you, Richard. Matt from Middleton, what you got for us this afternoon, sir?
Hey, Maggie. Thanks again for what you guys do. My opinion is that Trump is doing this to stay in power. Violence and chaos gives him all the reason to declare martial law, get the full dictatorship. He has it out for Iran because they wanted to assassinate him, but no, I'm sure Iran's not the only people that would like that. But yeah, it's like Netanyahu, same thing. Stay in war just to avoid jail, stay in power. So yeah, it's going to be a very crazy summer.
Yeah, I hear you, Matt. It feels very wag the dog to me. It just does. A bunch of more breaking news on the Iran question. First, Washington insiders are reporting that DNI Secretary Tulsi Gabbard is threatening to resign if President Trump orders the U.S. military to join forces with Israel in their strikes against Iran. She was apparently shut out of emergency cabinet meetings that were convened Sunday night after Donald Trump left the G7 summit in Canada. That is a big freaking deal, everyone. Iranian state TV is now warning of a, quote, major surprise, end quote, expected tonight, one that Iran is claiming the world will remember for centuries, end quote. This is not, I mean, Donald Trump's truth posts, this is escalation of conflict. This is, we are on the brink of potentially significant military involvement by the United States in Iran. We're going to continue to take calls. The text lines are blowing up too. We'll take all of your calls and texts when we come back. Is this a good thing? Is it a bad thing? Anybody concerned that Donald Trump has no grasp of the ramifications or what is now occurring? I'll share some of him, you know, applying his keen intellect to the delicate matters of foreign policy when we come back. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. I'm Maggie Dawn. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin as a fish fry on a Friday night, this is the Civic Media Radio Network. Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel.
The Trump administration arresting and deporting these supposed gang members without giving them due process is one of the steps to becoming an authoritarian government.
Dale, thank you so much for the call. And again, I second all of that. Bring them all back and afford them the due process that's a part of our nation, a part of this law, and a part of our tradition in administering justice.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11. Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
Todd Michaels joins us now.
I have to give a shout out to Oshkosh. It's a very underrated city.
There was also a restaurant there I really liked. I don't think it's there anymore.
Yeah, the Tally's was great. I may have gone to like a prom dinner there or something like that back in my day too, Pete.
A little calzone before you tear it up in the dance floor.
Man, there's nothing better than wearing a tuxedo and a little calzone in your cummerbund.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
The Elder Care Locator is here to help you live your best life as you age at home. Our call center advisors are ready to connect you with trustworthy local experts. Help is just a phone call away at 1-800-677-1116.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Your local Civic Media radio station is your source for real news and great conversation, plus fun and exciting contests. For a complete list of contest rules, log on wfhr.com/contest-terms. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Being blind doesn't look how others may think.
Retinitis pigmentosa aimed to overwhelm my family.
It tried to cut me down.
I know where to find support.
Learn more at fightingblindness.org. A public service message from the Foundation Fighting Blindness.
Connecting audiences, powering brands. This is Civic Media. Learn more at civicmedia.us/advertise.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Does the U.S. stand on the precipice of war with Iran? Does the world... Are we as... a global community looking into the depths, into the possibility of a potential world war, China providing directions now to its citizens to exit Iran immediately. Apparently, Iran has posted an incredibly threatening video, basically threatening the elimination of Israel from the map. This is escalating extraordinarily quickly, and Donald Trump seems to be not the one trying to de-escalate matters, but indeed the one fanning the flames, feeding into the escalation, not serving as a check against a potential conflict that could drag the world into it. Incredibly dangerous. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. And I just want to say this. The chaos that we are seeing inside our own country, as those that are qualified, good faith government employees leave service, as others to the tens of thousands, potentially hundreds, plus thousand are forced out as those that are not promoted due to merit, but due to loyalty, as chaos and incompetency reigns within U.S. trade policy, U.S. domestic policy, immigration policy, as the government under the Trump administration turns away from looking at what are the actual results and focus only on the rhetoric and speaking to their base, you see our nation fraying and fracturing. The same is true on the global stage. The U.S. is not the hegemonic trusted actor that it always has been. We are lessened. And the world's bad actors know that when the U.S. is weak, it is opportunity for them. Are we witnessing, within months of Donald Trump taking office, that very fact playing out on the global stage? Dave from Chicago, greetings, sir. What do you got for us this afternoon?
Hi, Maggie. I really appreciate your show. It's very informative. I'm afraid that we may be on the precipice of war with Iran, and it'll be a huge mistake. Trump showed in his first administration that he didn't know what he was doing when he walked away from a perfectly good treaty with Iran, saying he was going to get a better deal, and he never did. And now he's looking terrible in the polls, and this may be a case of wag the dog.
Yep, that is what it's about.
Yeah, that's what it unfortunately looks to be. I mean, he walks away from the G7 meeting yesterday, and it just appears to be chaos. And I don't think anybody listens to this man, whether it's Bibi Netanyahu or Vladimir Putin, or any country, because they can't take him seriously. He doesn't know what he's doing.
He doesn't. Thanks so much, Dave from Chicago. Appreciate you. If you're a first-time caller, you go to the front of the list. If you're a veteran, you go to the front of the list. If you are a conservative, you go to the front of the queue, 855-752-4842. Not only is the man incompetent and sort of a chaos creator, he flip-flops. It's Taco Trump. It's, you know, he's a chicken. He's going to chicken out. He can't follow through on policies because he doesn't understand them when he articulates that. And when you put that into geopolitical terms, when you scale that up into global sovereign actor conflicts, where do you think this leads? I mean, my goodness, run the tapes of Kamala Harris throughout the entire campaign, warning us that this man who promised us isolationism, who promised his base that we would be spending less on wars, who's threatened to cut off funding and intelligence sharing and weapons grants to Ukraine, is now dragging the United States with apparently glee and zest into potentially what? Another forever war in the Mideast? Thanks to Tim from Wales, Cam from Appleton, Mark from Prairie du Sac, whole bunch of folks on the text lines right now. I appreciate you bringing us some of this breaking news, and my senior producer, Jamie, telling me that representatives, U.S. Congress people, Massey and Conor O'Connor, have introduced a bill today. This is a bipartisan bill called the War Powers Resolution to attempt to block Donald Trump from dragging the United States into a full-scale war with Iran. At the same moment that that is happening, Senator Lindsey Graham, in, I don't know, some sort of delusional rapture state on the floor of the Senate, telling his colleagues and the American people that the young men and women in the U.S. military absolutely signed up to go to war against Iran with Israel to ensure that the Ayatollah does not have nuclear weapons. I don't know about that, Senator Graham. Not sure that that's what they all signed up to do and that everybody supports that. I would doubt that very specifically. Jim from Appleton on the text line says this. And I'm paraphrasing here. Apologies, Jim. This is the Christian nationalists, the extremist Christians in this country's objective. War in the Middle East, Jerusalem made whole, the nation of Israel running from the river to the sea. It's the second coming of Jesus, as promised in Revelations. I certainly hope not. Tom from New Berlin, all the rest of the folks on the text lines that I didn't get to, my apologies. Watch this space. I'll be back tomorrow. Of course, we've got another ream of great guests. We're working on a Mideast expert because, holy cow, the news moves fast, but not as fast as I do. Remember, I'll stand up for you. I hope you stand up for me, but it is always better when we stand together.
This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Michael Toscano. The sky over Tel Aviv filled with Israeli rockets tracking incoming Iranian missiles. At the same time, Israeli Air Force fighter jets carried out airstrikes in Iran's capital, according to the Israeli military. The continuing danger caused the State Department closing of the U.S. Embassy in Jerusalem and consular sections there and in Tel Aviv through Friday, leaving some Americans stranded.
In a travel alert, the department said it was, quote, always planning for contingencies to help American citizens depart from areas of crisis, but that it had no announcements about such plans. The State Department spokeswoman, Tammy Bruce, declined on Tuesday to tell reporters if charter or military